Hi, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Are You Not Kentertained? Today's date is January 10th, 2018, and this is episode 95. My name is Carrie, and I'm going to be your host for the evening. And as always, I am joined by two guys who unfortunately did not get partners for the Mixed Match Challenge, Kent and Russ. How you doing, guys?
Well, maybe if you weren't so far up Japan's butt, we could have chosen you as our mixed tag team partner, but you're in a different league.
In
more ways than one.
I am.
Pretty good. I noticed you got caught in that old chestnut of changing over for 2017, the old 2018.
I thought I recovered well, though.
You did. You did. Very good.
I was like, oh, wait, no. You're very quiet over there, Kent. How you doing?
Adequate. Very, very adequate. And I have a partner. She just happens to be under a mask, and I'm not revealing her name yet. And it may or may not be Ric Flair as the Black Scorpion. We don't know.
Maybe it's Sister Abigail.
Know. It could be Abigail. Could be Harper Lee. I don't know. I do know. I'm not telling you, though.
That's true.
It's what? Not Miss Cleo, though.
Aw.
Oh, boy.
Is she even alive anymore? I didn't think so. Okay.
Wow. Okay. So for our first-time listeners, welcome. We recap and talk about the week in wrestling. We also have a few fun wrestling-related segments for you as well. But this week, we're gonna recap and talk about the week. But we're also going to have some fun with this mixed match challenge that the WWE is putting on this coming week, and we're gonna go over the final picks that the WWE came up with, and we're going to submit our changes and how we would have liked to have seen it played out. But before we get started with any of that, we got to kick things off with Kent's moment of bliss.
Yeah, moment of bliss this week was I didn't have pizza today. I had a meatball and pepperoni sub. That hit the spot. I had really good wings last Wednesday, and they were medium and extra crispy. Always get extra crispy. If you don't get extra crispy, don't fucking eat wings with me. That's a thing, okay? So I really liked them. I only had six of them, though, and they were kind of spicy for medium. And so Sunday, I was like, God damn it. I really just want wings, so I got more wings. I ordered them hot this time because I like them hot. These things were like, they were the driest hits of chicken wings ever. Like, they were so, extra crispy. Like, there was no moisture and there was no heat to it either. They were like less than mild. It was from the exact same place. So, not sure what the hell is going on over there. But I will say this. On Amazon Prime right now, if you have it, you can go on Amazon Videos, and you can look up sex education videos from the 1950s. I gave that a whirl, and I laughed my ass off. So, for anybody that wants a good laugh, I just type in, like, sex education on Amazon, and you will find it, and the very first one, it's the boys, and their coach gives them... I can't even go in depth about how funny this is. So I highly recommend it. And that, my friends, was my moment of bliss.
Can I ask a question? What made you think to look up sexual education on Amazon Prime?
All right. So here's how this nasty web was woven. I watch a lot of horror, and horror and sex go hand in hand. So every once in a while, I get like the sexy vampire type movies, and then I click on, I'm like, oh, who's in it? I'm like, oh, I know that slut. And then because I've clicked on it, then it gets further and further towards the sexy part. And then all of a sudden, sex education videos from the 50s shows up, and I just started laughing. So I sat down, I made Raylene and I watch it until she said she was going to leave the room if I did not switch it, to which I kept watching it, and she stayed.
Who's the liar now?
Yeah, damn right. I think we end up watching some Oh, Happy Hunting on Netflix. It was okay. If you like movies where guys get hunted down by a town.
I do.
Yeah. You could do worse.
Sounds riveting.
No, it doesn't. You lie, Carrie. You have zero interest in anything I just said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You caught me. You know what I do have interest in, though?
Is this Tell me more.
This mixed match challenge.
Can we just call MMA? I mean, like, why'd they go...
MMC, though.
Yeah. Like, they clearly were trying to... Like, they were piggybacking off MMA, right? Like, that was the whole thing? Because mixed match, no, it's mixed tag. In the history of WWE, they've never said mixed match. It's always been a mixed tag. So this was clearly a... They were trying to piggyback off MMA, right? Or am I really overthinking this?
I think you're overthinking it because, well, maybe. Yeah. But MMA is not more popular than wrestling, so.
Not anymore because Connor don't fight and Ronda got her ass kicked.
Right. So it's pretty. They're about neck and neck of being about the same. But yeah, I don't know why they're calling it mixed match. It should be mixed tag. That's what it should be.
Well, only because I am stumbling over saying it. I'm just going to say MMC going forward. Is that cool with you guys?
It is copacetic.
I guess, because I have
Eric
no choice.
Eric like that word. I know he loves that word. He has a hard-on for that word, so tell him that I said it.
For him.
Will do. All right, so before we kick off what our picks for the MMC will be, I will announce the... We'll go over the picks that WWE came up with. We have Alexa Bliss with Braun Strowman, Bobby Roode with Charlotte Flair, Finn Balor and Sasha Banks, Rusev and Lana, Jimmy Uso and Naomi, Apollo Crews with Nia Jax, The Miz with Asuka, Goldust with Alicia Fox, Elias with Bayley, Shinsuke Nakamura with Natalia, Sami Zayn with Becky Lynch, and Big E with Carmella. All right, so there's what the current state of the teams. All right, guys, let's change it. Let's make it cooler. Russ, you start.
Whoa, hold on 1 second. Can we just say, is this tournament style? What the hell are they doing with this? All I know is there's
only 12 teams. It's kind of tough to do tournament.
Exactly.
Style. Are they adding 4 more teams? Do you know, Carrie? You follow this more than anybody else. I know.
I have no clue. I'll be honest, guys. I haven't watched WWE TV in
since Tuesday. We know yesterday, right?
All right. I watched the first half hour of SmackDown.
There you go.
And went to bed.
I like how Carrie's always honest about it. We're trying to keep it so people think we're still, you know, we watch the product.
Kayfabe is dead here.
It is dead here. So nobody knows what they're doing. I just thought maybe they're just putting these teams together. That's it. It's hilarious. And that's it. I don't know the end game.
The videos are fun to watch.
Yeah.
I enjoy watching. That's actually been the best part of wrestling aside from one particular thing that we'll talk about. I actually found the videos where the girls or guys found who their partners were to be actually kind of fun.
Yeah. I mean, even the Charlotte Barbie Roode one was...
Nope. Walking Dead returns.
Oh, man. All right. So, okay. So nobody knows exactly what's going to go on with this. Yes, is there a tournament? Is there a championship belt holding? Or is it honor? I mean, what the hell is going on with this? So... I was hoping maybe one of you guys could enlighten me. I guess not. Well, guess what? We'll have to find out with the rest of the groups.
Why not just make a belt out of it?
Yeah. Do it once a year. Make a belt. The team holds it for a year. Do it next year.
Or a trophy that will get smashed because every trophy in the history of wrestling's gotten smashed.
Yes. Definitely. All right. Now we can make it fun.
Go on, Russ.
Oh, me? How am I supposed to make it fun? I thought you had the rule here.
Oh, you? Want, I can go first.
Sure. So how are we going to make it fun? Yeah.
Okay, so my changes. I really just ripped this thing apart. So I kept Alexa with Braun.
Wait, hold on.
Why don't we just pick one girl at a time?
And we each say the partner. Yeah.
I like it. All right, Alexa. Braun.
Did anybody disagree?
That is
that?
The
like, that was the most obvious pairing that everybody
best choice made. Ever. I don't understand how that could be wrong. Come on, these two, they win the match, and Braun picks her up by one hand and puts him on her shoulder. That's how that's happening. I'm telling you right now. Classic best choice ever. There's nothing wrong with this choice.
Well, he used a grappling hook to lift her up.
Oh my God, he better.
And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. All right, let's move on to Charlotte Flair. I have her with AJ.
I have her with a dead body.
Oh, I had her with Benoit. but if we have to go with a living person, I would pair her with Jinder Mahal. Because they are both obnoxious and terrible in the ring.
I was going a similar route. But I was thinking more along the lines of Randy Orton. I'm just kidding. Randy's way better than Jinder. But I think Randy, I don't know, just they're both their pompous attitudes have always been that kind of thing for me. So I always thought Randy for her.
Plus Rick would be like, hey, Triple H, my boy Randy.
Hey, if we're going to make him win, why don't we just put your boy in there and my girl, huh?
I wonder if Rick has like tried getting Randy to bang his daughter. I really wonder this.
Well, if he was any type of father, I'd hope not, but...
it's Rick.
It is Ric Flair. You're right. It is Ric Flair.
He's not.
Yeah. That's a good... You think we would have heard of it by now, don't you?
Yeah, probably, but I mean...
Even in whispers and rumors.
The Macho Man thing still lingers on to this day, in all fairness, so...
Yeah, true.
We got time.
We do.
All right, moving on to Sasha Banks. I put her with Cesaro.
I would put her with... Honestly, Seth Rollins. I think those two match well.
Wow, that... Oh, shit. What are we, like 13 minutes in? Cool.
gonna say, what's the timer?
Since I can't choose a SmackDown guy, and I wanted to go with the forehead team, so I can't go Baron. You know, this guy's still technically on the Raw roster. I would have gone Neville, because he wears purple and she has the purple hair.
And he does have a very high hairline, too.
Yeah. Otherwise, Enzo, because they both like the bling.
I didn't think about Enzo.
And she likes Enzo. Like, remember way, way back, like, she came out with Enzo and Cass, and they had this stupid thing in the ring with some other jerk-offs. I don't remember who, but it was terrible. Just know it was terrible. She also said, how you doing?
That was true. Awkward and true, but true. That was bad.
All right, moving on to Lana. I say she stays with Rusev. What do you guys think? Kent, you first.
I had to go with the obvious choice. Dog Ziggler. Let's never forget that feud happened and he was with her. Never, ever forget that feud existed.
That... Oh, man, that's actually a good pairing.
Jealous that you didn't think of it, eh?
Yeah, actually, I kind of am. Because I was thinking Luke Harper would be her... ideal partner. And I'm thinking more along the lines of later on getting Rusev and Luke to have a little bit of a feud because Lana did really well with Luke. Plus they're double L.
Alliteration.
Yes.
Very cool. All right, let's move on to Naomi. I put her with Kofi. What about you, Russ?
I'm putting her with Jay just because, fuck it, that's hilarious. Jey Uso, if nobody got that one.
You think she's ever gotten confused?
Everyone's gotten confused. Even Jimmy and Jay have gotten confused.
I would go, just for the entrance alone, Kevin Owens. If he would do the dance and wear the glowy shit, it would be worth it, right?
That would be the funniest thing ever.
All right, next we have Nia Jax. I had her with Kane. I was trying to think of another big guy.
That's actually who I was pitting her with. I thought that'd be a good combination. You want me to switch it up?
I went with Samoa Joe for the Samoan heritage.
Oh, that is good. I had Samoa Joe with somebody else, so.
Two thick badasses.
That's true.
You picked Kane? Shame on both of you.
You know what? No, well, now it doesn't matter. Because now I know who's better with Kane, actually.
Yeah, but she's on SmackDown.
No. This is one on Raw.
Fire is on SmackDown.
I know who you're going
that
for.
That would have been the best
pairing. That would have been a great pairing. Straight Fire and Hellstone. Or Brimstone, whatever it is.
Hellfire.
Straight Hellfire and Brimstone.
Yeah. Like, that's a great team.
It is. Well.
Yeah, that is kind of cool. All right, Asuka. This one was hard for me, guys. But I gave it some thought, and I do want to go the traditional route of just picking Shinsuke Nakamura.
Which you couldn't
so
anyway.
I picked Roman. Reason being, neither of them are allowed to lose. And have to look strong.
Similar concept going with the Brock Lesnar. Got to have two badasses going together. I thought that was a pretty sweet pairing.
And I have John Cena with his underwear over his jorts.
Yes!
You know they'd be like bright green and stuff, so like that'd be a great team. And that team's not losing.
Now, it's fantastic. Hilarious that we all chose top guys in the division.
Well, what the fuck were we supposed to do? Pick Kurt Hawkins?
I was thinking about it. I was like, yeah, put a loser with a winner. But I was like, no, that would be terrible.
Somehow.
Yeah. So I was like, no, we can't have that. She's got to have someone who's just is dominant. So.
But you know what? I do want to say props to The Miz. Like, that's a good pairing. I like that.
Oh, absolutely. I always think, well, they're my odds-on favorite to win.
Over Braun and Alexa?
As much as I want to do Braun and Alexa, The Miz and Asuka
like,
are just...
Those are the two best teams, and they're both on the Raw side.
Yeah. No, there is one other great team. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. Okay. There is one more.
All right. As long as we all know it. Okay, Kara, you can go on. We'll talk about them later.
Okay. So, next up, we have Alicia Fox. I think she should stay with Goldust. That's a lot of crazy in one team. And it's fantastic.
There was my other Kane pick. That was like, that's who I thought, okay, she'd be good with Kane. But Alicia Fox, honestly, R-Truth. Is R-Truth still on the roster? I'm pretty sure he is, right? R-Truth was my with Alicia Fox.
Yeah, R-Truth would play off her
real well.
Freaking well.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd kind of like Alicia Fox with Brock just for the promo ability of Paul Heyman cutting a promo and her just inserting her randomness. Like, how great of a fucking promo would that be? The match, I don't care about it. I just want the promo. Paul Heyman, Alicia Fox, please make it happen.
That would be pretty good.
All right, next up is Bayley. I am so upset she's not with Finn Balor, so I'm picking Finn Balor.
I'm kind of going Bayley and Joe. The hugger and the thugger. Come on.
The thugger?
Well, I couldn't think of anything else. She hugs.
Don't throw that word around anymore.
All right. She hugs. He's a thug. It writes itself.
Okay, we're not throwing that word around much anymore, Russ. Just a bad word overall.
Is it really?
Yeah, it really is somehow. I just saying. I mean, unless you're saying thug life.
Well, I was going to say, what's wrong with thug?
It has racist connotations, but if you say thug life, then it's acceptable.
But thug is it? Thug
me,
is just.
I follow enough stuff with the NBA. Just trust me, this is a thing.
All right. Well, that's weird, but okay.
It's super weird. LeBron James would hate your ass right
now. I could care less about what he thinks of me, so. Unless he wants to give me money, and then I love him. He's the best thing that's ever happened. LeBron, send me money.
Yeah, LeBron definitely listens to this.
Absolutely. Who doesn't? We are the A-list of wrestling.
Oh, yeah, Bayley.
Yeah, Bayley.
Oh, keep Bayley and Elias. My God, what a great pairing that was. I love that pairing. I mean, because of the angle that they did, what, just a week or two ago? Yes, of course, keep that. When he wouldn't hug her? Yes, yes, the Drifter and the Hugger.
I like it.
Fair enough. All right, moving on to Natalia. I really wish there was a guy who was into cats. This is where I wish there was crossovers between this and New Japan, because Takahashi would be perfect with Natalia because he brings a cat, a stuffed cat, to the ring.
You're really selling me on this wrestling.
Yeah, yeah. I was just going to say, this is why I don't watch, apparently.
All right, anyway. I put her with Kevin Owens just to keep the Canadian connection.
Ah. Kat, you got one? This one was tough for me.
I only thing I had her with was Orton. Just a second generation thing going on, and I don't know. I think they're both overrated in the ring, so yeah, going Orton. I don't know. Worst pick I really had. Or Bobby Roode. Bobby Roode actually works really well for the Canadian dynamic.
All right.
Wait,
yeah.
No, Ty Dillinger. Fuck it, Ty Dillinger. That's my pick. Perfect ten.
I like that.
With the cat.
Yeah, I thought honestly, if it was Natalia, if I wish I could have picked Bray, because I thought
could have pricked Bray.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, because I don't know. They seem like they'd be a fun match, crazy and crazy. Unfortunately, that can't happen because it's SmackDown Raw. So I'm going to say that Natty's best. I think she'd be kind of fun with Eric Rowan. That little bit of a weird tangent going there. So, Eric Rowan.
All right, next up we have Becky Lynch. I picked Sheamus just to keep with the whole Irish connection.
Unfortunately, can't because he's on Raw.
I know. So I guess Sammy's fine.
Sammy's fine. Sammy's the perfect partner for Becky Lynch. My God, I wouldn't change that for anything. It literally went for me, Alexa Braun, Becky Lynch, Sammy, and then I kind of like Bayley and Elias, I'm not going to lie.
So you're not mentioning the team that you actually have to pick to win, though. You just named three teams, but you picked Asuka and Miz.
Oh, and Asuka and Miz, I really like them. I don't know if they're the perfect team. I just think they're the odds-on favorite. I don't think they're the perfect team.
You're a jabroni.
What? So I don't think do I think the perfect team's going to win this? Of course not. It's WWE.
No, Russ, the perfect team's Jason Jordan and Seth Rollins. We already get that, okay?
Then that's definitely mixed match, so we're good to go.
Yeah. As much as I like Sammy and Becky, I actually had Rowan with her. Once again, I would like to see his ginger beard on top of her ginger hair. Like her just standing in front of him and his beard just resting on her head. That's all I want to see. So that's my pick.
Sounds very sexual.
Well, you know what? Paige wasn't involved, so I couldn't do anything with that. So this is the best I have.
I know. What? How mad are you that Paige isn't even in on this?
I'm furious. I'm furious that Xavier is on SmackDown and Paige is not in this.
I know, right?
Ah. So sad. Terrible.
And
terrible day.
Last but not least, we have Carmella. I think Zack Ryder.
Okay. For Carmella, this was tough, kind of. But I think Bobby Roode would be a good match with Carmella. They're kind of sticky, stinky attitudes, so.
I got Carmella with Luke Harper. The ring entrance alone would be worth it for me. I don't really know how, would she start dancing around Luke Harper? Or, actually, you know what? Screw it. Carmella and Connor. That motherfucker needs love. So, yes, Connor and Carmella. Not quite. Wait, is Connor's with a K, isn't it?
Still no, Connor's with a C.
Are you sure this?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. But I am thinking it's with. Okay, let's find it. Let's look it up.
I'm pretty sure his is spelled with a K. And
you could be right. I don't know.
C or a K. That. Yeah. Either way, going with Connor. Man needs loving.
Oh, but it's Kay. Yep.
I mean, if she's willing to do things with Ellsworth, I mean, Connor can get somewhere, right? Somebody likes big guys. I mean, she was with Big Cass, and he's a louse compared to Connor.
That is true. Are they still together?
Didn't they break up?
I think so. I heard rumors that
Carrie, you're up on this.
Apparently, she removed all references to him on her Instagram and Twitter, so I guess that's the today equivalent of breaking up. I don't know.
So, the day that I remove all of my references to Russ on Twitter, we'll know.
It's the day we broke up, yes.
And that will be a sad, sad day for everyone.
It'll never happen. He'll die way before he can do it.
Yeah, I'll be dead soon.
we joke about it, but one of these days that's going to come too close to true.
Yeah, pretty much. the inevitability is strong here.
Yes.
All right, why don't we talk about some happier things then, guys, and find out who Russ's man crush of the week is.
Man crush of the week. I'm glad you asked that. This week, it's going to Tyler Breeze for one reason and one reason only. His boots are... Okay, I'm not a fashion person, but damn, those boots were very fashionable. I loved those boots. So he gets my man crush of the week. There was a very close second that I'd like to mention because he was close. But I don't want to waste it right now, but I think we all know who it is. He's really strong and did a very masculine feat this week.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll talk about it.
I don't want to waste it now, that's why. So.
All right, so guys, before we talk Raw and SmackDown, I think it's time to visit a certain corner. What do you guys think?
Carrie, what's going on in the Indie Corner?
All right, listeners, it's that time again where I take you on a journey around the non-WWE world and give you guys an update on all things New Japan and Ring of Honor. And this week, after I've caught up in my sleep patterns are back to normal after getting up at 2 a.m. last Thursday, and I'm here to give you the results and my reactions to everything that went down at Wrestle Kingdom 12. And all I have to say is... I hate you guys so much right now. All right. All I have to say, guys, is what a show. I will see anything close to what I saw last Thursday morning for the rest of the year. Strong matches from top to bottom. I wish you two would stop. Anyway, here are my reactions and the results by match. All right, so in the first match up, we had the Young Bucks versus Roppongi 3K for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team titles. Young Bucks won their seventh tag team title reign for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title. Rematch for that title is already scheduled for New Beginnings at the end of January. Okay, next we have Chaos versus the Bullet Club versus Suzuki Goon. Versus Elgin and War Machine versus Tajuchi Japan in a gauntlet match for the never openweight six-man tag team titles. The winner of this match was Chaos, and the rematch for this title was actually the next night at New Year's Dash with the Bullet Club winning back the title. New Year's Dash, for those not familiar, is pretty much the Raw after WrestleMania where a lot of the start of the year storylines for wrestlers and factions are established. Next match up was Kota Ibushi versus Cody. Ibushi wins in what was one of the best matches of the night. I encourage everyone to watch this one. It was that good. The fallout for this match bled into New Year's Dash, where Cody was still angry about the loss the night before. Tried to beat up Ibushi with a chair at the end of six-man or tag match, and that beatdown actually got stopped by Omega, who is Ibushi's old tag team partner and friend. I guess this sets up a storyline that there's some kind of tension in the Bullet Club or what have you, and possibly setting up Omega versus Cody at some point down the road for Bullet Club leadership. All right, next up we had the IWGP Tag Team Championship match, Evil and Sonata versus Killer Elite Squad. Evil and Sonata win the championship in what was a decent match. All right, next we had Haruki Goto versus Minoru Suzuki in a hair versus hair match for the Never Open Weight Championship. Goto picked up the win in which was a really, really good match. Suzuki changed his own and shaved his own head in the center of the ring. Next up, we had another match of the night contender, the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship, Will Ospreay versus Marty Scurll versus Kushida versus Hiromu Takahashi. Ospreay picked up the win on this one. Next up, we had Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Switchblade Jay White for the IWGP Intercontinental title. Tanahashi retained in what was a decent match. Quick update from New Year's Dash on Jay White. He was invited to join the Bullet Club, turned down that invitation by dropping Omega with a Blade Runner. For those of you not familiar with what it looks like, think Sister Abigail. Omega versus Jay White is set for new beginnings at the end of the month. Next up, we have Kenny Omega versus Chris Jericho for the IWGP US Championship. Omega retained in a match that definitely lit up to the hype surrounding it, and in my opinion, surpassed those expectations. Best match of the night, and I'm not just saying that because I'm an Omega fan. Okada versus Naito for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. Okada retained in a very good match. This match, I felt bad because it followed Omega and Jericho, and that was a really good match, but it was a good match in its own right. And really, I personally think Naito got robbed. Anyway, while we're on the subject of Naito, it looks like he is Jericho's next target, as was made very evident at New Year Dash when Jericho ran in and gave Naito a post-match beatdown. Looks like Jericho's not done with New Japan just yet, guys.
That was riveting stuff.
Yeah, like you guys were actually paying attention.
Well, there's actually a reason why we weren't paying attention. Actually, I was a little bit, but I don't want to hear everything because I do want to watch it.
Ah.
So I didn't want to ruin everything on me, and I haven't watched all of them. I did watch Chris Jericho and Omega, and I agree with you. Awesome match. It was a lot of fun. I might go as far as saying it's the best match I've seen so far this year. But
wow,
the years
in, and you're making that bold proclamation? Shit.
Best match I've seen this year. It's not a bold proclamation. Maybe. It could survive the entire year, couldn't it? It wasn't.
Well, I mean, AJ versus Cena was a lot of people's match of the year, and that happened last January, so.
You're right. So,
I mean, we had Joe versus Roman. That was a very good match.
That's what I was saying. Like, that match right there was also really, really freaking good. But it is a TV match versus something, a pay-per-view match. So in pay-per-view matches, typically, I don't know, they always seem to feel like they feel more.
Well, yeah, you don't have to put up with the goddamn commercials.
Yeah, and that kills, oh god, that kills it. But yes, so Carrie, even though we weren't really paying attention, we were in spirit with you. Because I do want to see it. I heard a lot of great things about it. Problem is, it's impossible to get unless you get NJ, whatever, WP.
Yeah, NJPW World. Yeah, it's very hard.
Unless you watched it almost immediately after, because there were so many bootlegs on YouTube. And then when I went to, like, that night to look for more, nothing. Like, I couldn't find anything. I luckily got the Jericho Omega Japanese version. So.
Yeah, it's difficult
to watch.
Who did
the commentary?
Don Callis and Kevin Klein.
Yeah, they were actually pretty good for the 5 minutes I heard.
Don Callis, he's Cyrus. I like him. And who was the other one? Kevin?
Kevin Kelly.
I don't like him. I never, in his WWE days, that's all I know him from. And I found the guy boring as hell. Like, is he better?
He's decent. Really, Don makes the commentary.
I was going to say, it's the other guy who makes the commentary.
Well, yeah, I mean, Don's great. Don's the guy that gave Edge his name. Because Don was here in the area, and he heard the radio station, And he thought Edge was a cool name. That's how Edge got his name.
Yes. A little bit of history for you that we'll always bring up because it's Albany and the Edge.
Damn right. Yep. Well, and also Don Callis is the reason how Omega and Jericho came to be. It was his idea for the match.
Let's not start disparaging the man.
Yes, we're trying to say positive things. Come on, Carrie.
All right. Let's go back and talk about the WWE and let's recap.
You know the best part? Eric really enjoys the fact that I keep antagonizing Carrie.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. Or maybe it was you sent it to me. I don't remember, but it is hilarious. I think it's great. I feel that it's finally nice to be able to pick on Carrie on her wrestling, because now she actually has her own opinion on it, and now we can trash it, just like we trash each other's opinions.
Yeah, you're in the club now.
Yeah, I feel like you're in the club.
Good for you, champ.
Watch, ready? Hey, Kat, Seth Rollins is awesome.
Boner alert!
Actually, I did have one when I said his name, so.
Russ, how many times do you adjust yourself during a typical Rollins and Jordan match?
God. Well, 3-4 times. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to make it too obvious. Yeah, I don't want to make it too obvious. Just
right.
You know.
Right. No, that's about average.
Right, exactly.
Don't
not well, only with Kenny Omega.
Yeah. Okay.
Carrie, will you keep the show progressing here?
Yeah, no, you're letting us take over and we're just going to
I think that was a well worth it tangent. Anyway, let's move on to talking about the big topics for the week from Raw and SmackDown. Let's talk about this because I know Russ is dying to talk about it. Let's talk about Braun and the beatdown with the grappling hook and the scaffolding. And I just love watching Braun do Braun things. Russ, what do you think?
Holy crap. All right, so I just want to say this. At first when I saw it going on, I didn't, you know, it was the typical Brock doing his things. Heyman had a great promo, and then Kane came out, did his thing, whatever. Okay, like, all right, whatever, who cares? But then Braun comes and takes them both out. And this was just such a great move on their part. I don't know why, but him picking up those things, I'm sure they were like the hollowest things in the world, but the way he picked them up and just threw them around so effortlessly, fantastic. But Kat, what would you say your favorite part of this whole thing was?
Well, as you know, Vince McMahon often says that WWE is full of superheroes. And we sure had our superhero moment as Braun reached into his utility belt and pulled out a grappling hook. My God. Like, I liked the Brock and Kane and Paul stuff. Like, actually, I was happy. Like, I was like, all right. I was very happy with how everything went down. I was like, I could go for Braun. And they just treated me. That wasn't just a single cherry. That was the whole damn jar of cherries on top. My God. Ah, so good.
It was so good. Okay, first of all, it was just so hilarious how they did this. I mean, he took the grappling hook, and he completely missed the scaffolding. But I didn't care, because the effort behind it was what was fantastic.
How many times do you think they filmed the grappling hook throw?
Oh my God, that must have been so many times. That must have been the closest one, because I was just like, okay, first of all, if he gets this on one shot, I'll be amazed, okay? That's what I thought. I was like, there's no way he's going to get that in one shot. And when I saw it, it kind of like went off the way, so you could say, okay, yeah, maybe it did. It clearly didn't after I looked back at it. I rewound it and paused it. I had to see.
It was a swing and a miss.
It was a swing and a miss. But then I was thinking, there's no way they recorded it in one shot, like you said. And here's the other funny part about this whole thing. He tore it down, hilariously great. Don't get me wrong, it was amazing. But then it fell, and it didn't even come close to hitting either guy. I mean,
that's not a complaint, though. You can't have a scaffolding fall on people.
Like, oh, I know. I get it. Listen. I loved this. This is one of my favorite moments of WWE in a long, long time. Almost, it's not quite as far back. I don't have to go back as far as Braun throwing Roman over the edge, but that was darn close. darn close.
Didn't this bring back the memory of when the whole set fell down on Vince when he was giving away his $1 million a week?
Oh, yeah. Very similar.
And then like, Triple H came out, and Vince called him Paul for the first time on TV.
Yes.
Like, kayfabe.
Yes. And then we were all... And then the next week, he was fine.
Oh, totally fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's my question. They keep doing these big things with Braun, and I don't want to kill the jovial mood here, but my question is, at what point are they going to let somebody else do a spectacular stunt? Because if you think back, like, the past 5 spectacular stunts, they've all involved Braun. Are they going to keep reserving it to keep building him up? I mean, not that he can be built up much more. He just needs a big win against Brock, for instance. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they used to give Austin all the big stunts. And it worked, but it kind of felt like other people could have used an opportunity for a big stunt every now and then.
Yeah, I don't think they'll ever... Well, they'll have to eventually... give over the big stuff. But you're right. It just seems like he's getting everything. Which is fine with me at this time.
It's good, though, because it's... If their whole goal is to build up a huge superstar, which we assume that it is, but then we wonder if they really are going to make him a true... They don't seem like a Roman. They should, but they don't, I don't think.
Right.
So, it makes you wonder, like, how much are they going to spend on this guy if they're not going to put the jetpack on him? The rocket.
Well, like we said, if he doesn't have that belt by WrestleMania, I think they've missed their opportunity with him, right? I think we're still on that. But he keeps on doing these amazing things.
Would a trade to SmackDown fix everything that's wrong with Braun? In the fact that he'd actually get a title belt and wouldn't be stuck with Roman and Brock?
I think there's a point where he will get that belt on Raw. And SmackDown has just been, other than the main event, it's kind of a wasteland. And storytelling. And Braun is a storytelling machine.
Right, so wouldn't that benefit everybody involved to put a huge attraction like Braun on SmackDown? When they had Undertaker on SmackDown for all that time, would Braun work, or should they be building Baron up for that role?
Well, I always thought that's what Baron was for on that role, and then they kind of, they dropped the ball.
I think in the case of moving him to SmackDown or even just what they were doing with Baron on SmackDown, I think if the writing was different and it wasn't so focused on Shane McMahon's personal vendetta against Sammy and KO, that they might be able to do something with that. But right now that seems to be the main focus, and that doesn't seem to be changing anytime soon. So I think keeping Braun on Raw, despite the fact that, you know, that title just keeps getting dangled in front of him, is probably the best place for him right now.
It would be great if WWE actually did something we didn't think they'd do and actually give him the belt.
Are we in an era where we should start thinking differently, though? In regards to, you know, we all started watching wrestling back in 80s, 90s, whatever, when the belts meant something. The belts are more props than ever before. Should we start changing our thinking? Like, maybe the belt isn't that important? Do we put too much significance on the belt? Because,
well, I think, no.
We bitch and moan that Braun doesn't have the belt, and that's going to be the thing that legitimizes him. Is it? Or does it even matter anymore?
I don't know.
Look what they've done with fucking Brock. It hasn't legitimized him. It's just made us yawn.
But he doesn't care if it legitimizes him. He is legitimized without the belt. I think with Braun or anybody new, holding on to the belt is telling us that he's the alpha. He's the one we should be looking at right now. Unfortunately, though, WWE doesn't seem to care about the belt, so maybe we shouldn't care about him either. It's tough.
I sometimes think we put too much significance on a belt for a company that really doesn't care. Like, I think we care way too much sometimes as fans.
Well, I think that's because during the time that we have been fans, the belts meant something. So, of course, going forward, it's always going to matter to us, but that's not the creative direction that the WWE is going with right now. And really, if you think about it, if you take away the belts, who are your top stars?
Braun.
Kurt Hawkins.
Definitely Kurt Hawkins.
He's the one with the streak.
He does have a streak. Asuka.
Asuka, yeah.
You want to have another streak. Roman.
AJ.
Alexa.
Sasha. Bailey. Charlotte.
Whoa. Why are you bringing
February,
Charlotte into this?
Walking Dead.
Yeah, why are you bringing Charlotte into this? You said stars, not...
Like it or not, guys, to other parts of the fan base, she is considered a star. She is considered one of the best.
Only because
we don't
they've
feel
been
that
told
way, but...
mercilessly. It's kind of like the whole, it's historic, it's first time ever. How many more times do we have to hear it? Like, I don't believe it. So, are there people that really believe Charlotte's that good? Are people starting to sense that she's not as good as she is hyped up to be? Or is it just us because we're all dicks?
Well, there's a little bit of a mix of us being dicks in there. Don't mistake that. But...
I think it's kind of a 50-50 split, really. If you go on the internet, a lot of people are for Charlotte. They think she's really good. She's legitimate and everything like that. And then you have the other part of the fan base is like, it's so ridiculous. You know, why isn't Becky in her spot? Why isn't, X, Y, and Z female wrestler in her spot? It's really a split.
Well, that's just it, though. I mean, Becky is the superior. In fact, I think she's superior to most every woman on the roster except for very few. Alexa.
Becky's arguably better than... In ring, she's certainly better.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the problem I have with Charlotte is she has to talk like this? That's because that's acting? I hate that about her.
Nepotism.
Yes, nepotism.
I was just going to ask that to you guys. If she wasn't Ric Flair's daughter, would we still be having this discussion? Like,
no,
would we still
she wouldn't be having the titles. She wouldn't have been given them, I don't think. Would she? In reality, that many?
Oh, I think she would have gotten one or two.
I don't even know she'd be out of NXT, quite frankly. if you look at, like, Billie Kay and you look at Peyton Royce, they're just as good as Charlotte. They just don't have the last name attached. Look at Randy. Randy got bumped up really fast because of the name attachment. And eventually he lived up to the billing. And Charlotte could... She has all the athletic gifts. She just is one of the worst people on the mic, and she's boring to watch in ring with 80% of the female roster, I would say. Like, her and Sasha have put on good matches. Can you say Charlotte's put on good matches with, like...
Anyone else? Bailey. Bailey's the close second. That's the only thing I can think of.
Like, she's one of those people that just doesn't have the ability to put on good matches with everybody... And Bliss was like that too, don't forget. But Bliss has actually matured to the point where she's capable of doing it with most people. Or, you know, look at Mickie James. Mickie James could put on a match with any girl and make it worth your while with enough time. Charlotte's not remotely close to that. And that's where a lot of my anger comes from. She's billed as this female Jesus in wrestling, and she's not. She's not at that level. Remotely close to that level.
I agree.
I feel bad for somebody like Tamina who had the name, but had the injuries. Also, by the way, Tamina and Baron Corbin did a mixed tag against Naomi and Jimmy. I thought that was a kind of a cool team, and I was kind of sad that Baron and Tamina weren't in this MMC. I forgot to mention that earlier. That's kind of a badass team, right?
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, why isn't Baron Corbin in this thing?
Why isn't Talking Smack a thing? Oh, that's why SmackDown sucks.
No. I bet they would bring back Talking Smack if they put Corey Graves in charge of it. Think of all the shows that Corey Graves is getting right now. Who had them before he did?
Renee.
Yep.
Did you know that Dean Ambrose had, like, the most victories in 2017? Did anybody see that? I'm going to find that article,
nope,
and we'll come back to that topic. I'm going to dig it up, Carrie. Bring us on to another topic.
All right. Well, while we're on the topic of S.H.I.E.L.D. members, let's talk Balor Club versus the S.H.I.E.L.D. Because there's no D.
No D because there's no Dean.
All right. And that leads us into our next segment. Were you not entertained? Let's talk the opening segment of Raw between Roman's promo, Jason Jordan coming out and congratulating and trying to act like an honorary S.H.I.E.L.D. member, Rollins coming out just to kind of fan the flames because he probably thought Roman was going to kill the poor guy. And then we had Balor Club come out and basically say, no, we're the best three-man team that there's out there. I was entertained by this whole thing. I enjoyed the segment. What did you think, Russ?
I totally agree with you. I was thoroughly entertained by this. This is, moving forward, best story going right now in WWE. I say that moving forward because the Shane KO stuff is spinning its wheels. It's still interesting, but they are definitely in a holding pattern over there for some reason. Where Raw is really taking this story, and what's great about it, honestly, is that it's interweaving so many different other stories that they... Can you honestly tell me, do you know how this is going to end? That's...
Which story are you talking about?
The Jason Jordan, Seth, Kevin, or Roman, all that stuff being interwoven together. They're doing such a good job. And come on, we all know WWE Creative. We're all sitting there like, they can't do jack shit. And they're actually putting a story together because what they're doing is they're holding Jordan from quite coming a heel, but everyone hates him and we all know it's coming. Or we think it's all coming. We got Seth sitting over here. Is Seth going to turn on him? Is Jordan going to turn on Seth? There's a lot of different stories here. And then, of course, they interweave Roman into it. They've interweaved Joe into it. It's been great stories. And I like it that it's not just two guys. It's interwoven stories. It's good storytelling. So, yes, I was thoroughly entertained.
I'm not saying this to be part of a character as the disgruntled person. I'm saying this legitimate. I don't like this. I don't like Jason Jordan. I don't think he's the right guy for this role. And that's my biggest issue. He's doing the best he can with it. I don't blame him. I sit here and I seethe thinking how great this would be if Chad Gable
was sitting in this role, yes.
Jason Jordan just, he's trying hard. And, the story's fine. It doesn't do anything for me. I get where people who are liking it are coming from. I'm not going to actually, be a dick about it. For me, it's not clicking. Yes, they're interweaving a lot of things, and that's fine. Like, that's what they should be doing this time of year. They need to kill time between now and Mania. That's fine. Don't be surprised when Jason and Seth are like the new Sheamus and Cesaro, where they were kind of disgruntled, now they're best buddies, and then Dean comes back and turns heel. Like, that's where it's going. Let's stop pretending like this is like some big surprise. That's where this is going.
I don't think that's where it's going, but that's what I like about it. You're right. I see how it could go your way. Absolutely.
If they split Jordan off, no matter what they're trying right now, he's badass Billy Gunning the hell out of this as soon as he goes solo. So either WWE is going to be stupid and put him solo and watch him fall flat on his face, or they're going to keep him in this whole S.H.I.E.L.D. thing where, you know, eventually he does enough saves and Roman and Seth start fist bumping and, you know, grinding a little bit with each other and getting all... Yeah.
You see,
and then Jordan's going to grow hair and it's going to be really wet. That's going to be the final part of this.
Well, that's the only way it has to end. I'm surprised Dean never went with the wet hair look. I mean, that's the...
That's why Dean was the coolest person in the fucking group, man. Then he went and got a hot chick for a wife.
That's true. But I think you're right to a point. Jordan is definitely, I mean, you could take Jordan out and put almost any other superstar into that role, and it would be about the same. They have to have some skill in the ring, so I'm not saying everybody, because gender, I don't care what you do with gender, you ain't doing shit. But Gable was the best choice for this, and they blew it. So,
and I think Gable's proving it every week over on SmackDown.
When absolutely.
It's like, oh my god, like they really did blow it. The storyline's not a fault here. It's just Jason Jordan, he's not growing on me the same way that he's grown on a lot of other people. Maybe he will someday. I don't know.
I think he's relevant till WrestleMania. After WrestleMania, and he moves on from whatever story this is, I think you're right. He's Billy Gunn in this.
I think he's going to be fine until, like, SummerSlam. Like, at some point, they're going to try to pull the trigger, and that's... I don't think they're going to pull the trigger on it for a while, though. I really think, like, they're going to become best of friends and all that shit.
I hope you're wrong. That's, like, the worst-case scenario of this whole thing.
Well, I mean, it's pretty much how they played out.
I know, and this is WWE, so you're probably right.
Redundancy is king here.
Yeah, I know. But I keep on... It's that abusive relationship that we have with wrestling, and you know how it is. I keep on thinking, no, this time it's going to be different. This time WWE is treating me right and giving me a story that's interesting, not the exact same
just
damn
think
story.
About that with KO and Sammy, and here we are going, well, this is getting dull already. So it's the same thing time and time again.
The difference with this, though, is they're just spinning wheels. It's still interesting. It's just they're not giving us anything else, so we're kind of in a holding pattern. That's the worst.
Really yeah, it's interesting for now.
You're right.
But at some point, they're gonna rip that rug right out from all under all of us.
Yeah, it's called after Royal Rumble.
Sitting here going, what was I so intrigued about? Why did I care?
Oh, you're talking about the Jason Jordan, all this stuff? Yeah, well, that's WWE.
Yeah, well, even the same thing with KO and Sammy and Shane. That thing, it's like, yeah, this was intriguing at first, but now it's like. The rug's being slowly pulled out from underneath us, and we're going, oh, God, this needs to end. Let it end.
Well, this brings up a good point, then. Is it because we're beholden to the pay-per-views? They've told the story. Okay, there's not much to tell about the story. Yes, they can do a few other things, but there isn't much to tell about the story because they want to expose it at the Royal Rumble to get us going for the next pay-per-view. That's the inherent problem with this. It's, we have a great story. It has to be put on pause until they can put the next big twist on it, because you can't waste that on regular TV. You need that on the pay-per-view or the episode after the pay-per-view to get you interested in the next pay-per-view.
Well, you're half right, though, but that's also part of the point. They're doing weekly shows, and they're trying to keep this story going week to week instead of saying, we can go a week without the story.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. Don't give it to us for a friggin' week.
Like,
God,
like
you got other stars.
All big angles. We get excited. How many times have we sat here, got excited about something, and then a few weeks later, we're like, well, that was fun while it lasted. It was because they pound it into the fucking ground so fast instead of letting it breathe.
Simmer. Yeah.
And then they, before you know it, they Luke Harper it. Here's my question. What's more likely? Jason Jordan and Seth becoming the new Cesaro, or Kevin Owens and Sammy become the next Kevin Owens Jericho from last year? Like, same exact time periods that both things are happening. Which one's most likely to be redundant more? I think both.
I think the Sammy KO. I think they're both at. Well, no, I don't. I'm holding out hope. God damn it, Kate. If it goes your way, I'm going to be so pissed. But I'm holding out hope for the Jason Jordan and Seth Rollins thing, because I honestly am hoping that Jason and Seth turn on each other. One turns on the other. I don't really care who does who what. And then we either get a good match out of them before WrestleMania, or the terrible thing, waste Seth on Jordan at WrestleMania. Either way.
Would it really be so bad, though, if Sammy and KO main evented WrestleMania? Like, isn't that something we've long...
Hell no. If Anana Russ actually put this in for it. Did you read his blog? Yeah, I know it's not out there for everybody, but
what a
it.
Stupid name.
It is really stupid. I agree. Anana Russ. Who is it? I don't know. He's Anana Russ.
I don't know. He's your friend. Not
I know. But he did mention on the blog, because we get privilege of reading it, of course, something about, you know, it's a pipe dream. We'd love to see KO and Sammy own this belt, and then they can lead it down to either them breaking up or at least having a disagreement, not necessarily breaking up, and have a triple threat match at WrestleMania.
We did really good at not mentioning the whole Sammy KO storyline, just like we discussed before.
Good job, guys.
It was really good. I'm just going to blame Kerry.
Yeah. But
how is this my fault?
Because you're supposed to rate us in.
Segwayed in there. And really, if you're going to recap the week, you kind of got to hit on it, guys.
I found the story. So just to change directions ever so briefly.
Okay.
Here are the numbers for 2017. Jinder Mahal wrestled the most matches at 185, followed by Corbin at 181, AJ 179, Sammy 178, and Walking Dead comeback February at 173. Dean Ambrose led the company with 144 wins. Shinsuke somehow was second. I don't understand how he was second based on when he came up, but he had 131. Russ's boy toy, 127. AJ 117, and Roman with 116. Natalya had the most losses with 131. Naya came in second with 128, which I didn't see that coming. Carmella third, 125, and Jinder at 124. Aiden English 123, and this last little bit was, since 2004, the most matches that any wrestler had competed in was Daniel Bryan in that great year of 2013 with 232, Sheamus with 220 in 2012, and Roman Reigns with 219 in 2015. All interesting stats. Like, I would have never guessed Dean Ambrose to be the leader in wins and Nia to be second in losses.
That's pretty shocking. Now, I'm assuming this includes all house shows.
Yeah, it would have to.
Has to, right? I mean, there's way too many.
Oh, you figured that they have like half the week off, so 181's about half the year.
Right,
so
right.
That would make sense. I'm surprised about the Shinsuke thing, because
that must count as NXT. It has to.
Yeah, but how often does NXT run house shows? They don't run them that often. So I don't know. I don't know. It is from the wrestling newsletter, whatever, like the big name thing. So
yeah,
it should be accurate. I just question it.
It's weird.
Interesting. All right, guys. Let's see. Let's move on, shall we? Let's talk injury bug on Raw. Samoa Joe's out with a foot injury, and Enzo was busted open. Let's talk about it.
Well, I want to talk about Kent. Seem to be up on this. I didn't hear anything about the injury until today, and I didn't even read the article, so I had no idea what happened.
I don't understand the Joe injury, because I watched the match knowing I'd read about the injury. I watched the match, and I didn't see anything that was telling of it, but it sounded like he ruptured something, plantar fasciitis, I believe is how you pronounce it. So he's going to be in a boot and crutches. I don't know if that's going to jeopardize his Rumble spot or not. I don't know how long the takes to heal. It could.
So plantar fasciitis, 2 to 3 weeks. If it's not broken or anything, like, didn't just.
So he could be good to go for Rumble, you would think. It's weird because they keep saying that Cena's going to have a big match at Mania, and they keep saying that him and Joe are having house shows, but it's not supposed to be Samoa Joe. That's intriguing. That's something I wanted to bring up. As far as Enzo goes, that boy got busted up real good. I can't even remember. Cedric. It was Cedric. Caught him with a boot on his right eyebrow. And, like, you see the kick, and it took about 3 seconds, and all of a sudden the blood started pouring. So Enzo goes out, ends up, you know, going outside the ring, and Cedric does some flippy shit. And when he lands on Enzo, it actually looked like it hurt Enzo's leg. So Enzo's grabbing his leg, and the ref comes over. He's trying, like, you know, stop the bleeding. Enzo swore on TV. He's like, something about his leg or his ankle. He wanted that looked at. He didn't give a fuck about the blood, but they were more worried about blood because of the PG era. And Enzo, you could tell he was pissed because his leg clearly hurt. But I haven't read anything about the leg injury yet.
I was going to say, was that more of an angle to get them over to him?
I was wondering that, but... I mean, he could have just screwed up by swearing. But that was the thing. Like, he swore.
Right, I understand.
So, that's where I'm not sure if it was real or if it was just a way to draw attention. But he kind of, like, swatted the hand away from, you know, checking on the cut. So, I think he may have actually hurt his leg a little bit. Or, you know, it could have just been one of those painful things at the moment, but 5 minutes later...
A stinger. Yeah, a stinger.
So, but yeah, it looked like he was a legit hurt. But I wanted to say, Taker, is he coming back? Because he was there SmackDown Tuesday.
There is only one way Cena is going to have a huge, bigger match than any title match at Mania. And it's only if he fights Taker. Oh. Never mind, you're right. You're right. Triple H.
No.
That's it. Sold. What would you do if it was Triple H? Like, they built it up where I was like, it's Triple H.
I don't know. I'd find something to punch really hard and hurt my hand.
Oh,
speaking of Triple H, though, I saw the cutest video online of him working out and his daughter standing next to him, and they were both doing squats. It was the most adorable thing I've ever seen. Just thought I'd share that.
And that's now, with the lady listeners.
That's right. If Taker comes back, does that take away from Roman's win? The biggest win of his career, honestly?
It takes away from everything. At this point, to bring Taker back is to bring Taker back to lose again? I don't want him coming back to lose. If he comes back, I want him to win. And I don't care who it's against. If it's Cena, then put him over Cena. The only way that I want Taker to lose, and I don't even think I wouldn't even want him to lose to Corbin. That's how much I don't want Taker to lose. As much as Corbin could use that win, no, Taker can't afford another loss at Mania, in my opinion. They've really ruined the greatest thing that was in wrestling, the greatest achievement. I held that over Flair's 16 titles.
Oh, they completely... But they ruined that so many years ago now at this point that it's...
Yeah, but then they kind of took a shit on the grave last year. You know, like...
Yeah.
It was bad enough when they did the unspeakable act, but then last year to do that...
Totally agree. They did that, but at that point it wasn't so bad. And Roman got... Okay, he didn't need a push or a rub or anything, but it did give him some rub, and now... If he comes back, it totally erases that rub. And not to mention, you're right. If he loses, what's the point of bringing him back for a loss? When he comes back, it has to be a win. I mean, it's Undertaker. The problem is, and I think we all know this, the Undertaker wants to go out losing. He doesn't want the win.
Are we okay with Taker main eventing another WrestleMania? Because him versus Cena is the main event, if that is the match. Are we okay with old-ass Undertaker being the main event yet again while all these... Like, we bitch about this, but, like, we always have, like, this weird exception for the Undertaker. Are we okay with Taker taking the main event spot?
If last year didn't happen, then I'd be fine with it. This year, no, it's too late.
I'm kind of in agreement with Russ there. If last year didn't happen, yes. I mean, last year should have been the year for Cena versus Taker.
Yes.
That's when it should have happened.
Yep.
This year should have been where, you know, if they were going to have an Undertaker match, have him put somebody over.
Yeah,
somebody
I agree.
Somebody
Well, but the problem with last year is...
already established.
Last year showed Undertaker couldn't go. Let's face it, that match was bad. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't Undertaker quality.
He was a good two steps behind his form, yeah.
Yes.
Cena's a good enough wrestler that it'll work.
He'll carry him, yep.
But it won't be any better than last year. I mean, because we all consider Roman an above-average worker.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a thing about a spectacle rather than a match, if it happens.
Well, if it doesn't happen, what other marquee matches do they have? What is going to get them the buys or the subscriptions?
Roman versus Brock, baby. One year in the making.
I've seen it.
There's one match that can happen, that should happen. And it's not CM Punk. CM Punk could happen. That would be the biggest thing. Barring that, Daniel Bryan versus Shane.
Yep.
It doesn't
Here's another one.
Long match.
WWE is never going to clear him.
I think they will. I think they will. Yep.
They're afraid of losing him. I think they're clearing him.
Terrified of losing him. I don't even want to say that they're not afraid. They're terrified of losing him. They'll let him wrestle. They're holding it off as much as possible. And can we blame WWE on this?
No, no, no. I wouldn't want him wrestling, but simultaneously, I'm not letting him walk. I'll let him hurt himself again rather than let him walk. And I imagine the damage he could do with whatever the fuck Cody and the Young Fucks are trying to do with their big-ass show. Like, you add Daniel Bryan to that, they're accomplishing that goal.
Oh, easily.
Now. They announced the date for that show. It's before D-Bry's contract expires.
Good.
The all-in 10,000-seat show is September 1st. They announced it today.
Good. Glad it's not fucking
I haven't announced
second.
The location yet. They're making everybody watch Being the Elite to actually find out the location. But the date is September 1st.
I don't know. Daniel Bryan is definitely going to match. But I think there's another match that they're probably going to tease too. And I think it's definitely going to happen now at this point. Shinsuke versus AJ. That's huge.
It's huge, but it's losing momentum every week that they're squandering Shinsuke Nakamura.
Oh, I know. I totally agree with you. But when he wins the Rumble, they're bringing him right back.
I don't...
There's no Sammy now. There's no Sammy.
Yeah, I know. My fucking pick's gone. I get that, okay? But he's winning the championship, and that's just as good.
True.
With that being said, if they win the championship, then what's your point here, Russ? You can't have it both ways. You can't sit here and say Sammy and KO are winning it and then saying Shinsuke versus AJ. So which way are you going?
Well,
pick one.
Good point. I'd like to pick Kevin Owens. Well, okay, because I don't think Kevin Owens and Sammy are going to win. Honestly, I'd love it to happen. It's not going to happen. So if Shinsuke wins...
I think it is.
How do you do co-champions?
Jericho and KO last year, they're just following that blueprint. Because redundancy is king. Somebody said that earlier in the podcast.
Someone did say that. Redundancy is king. I don't know. I understand where you're going with it. I can't see the... hell, you're probably right. WWE doesn't give a shit about the belt, so they probably don't care either.
Honestly, AJ versus Shinsuke does not need a fucking belt.
It doesn't.
It really doesn't. Did AJ and Finn Balor need a belt?
No, they didn't even need a story. They just needed to fight. Although that match would have been way better if the story was there. Don't you agree, Kat?
I didn't care for that match. So.
I was going to say, if there was a story there, would you have cared?
No, because I care about Finn Balor versus fucking Sister Abigail. That's the only story Finn Balor that I care about at the moment.
Wait a minute.
Until that is satisfied, I don't care.
We'll never have that match, so it doesn't matter. But... that's one storyline that never disappointed. It disappointed in the fact that we didn't get to see it finish out. But Sister Abigail versus Finn Balor.
What happens first? Sister Abigail versus the Demon or Taker versus Sting? I say Taker versus Sting. That's
Taker versus Sting. Yeah, Taker versus Sting has definitely happened before.
If Sting happened, would that be main event?
Who?
Taker and Sting. Would that main event a Mania at this point? I don't think it would.
Oh, they'd put it as the main event, though.
You think they'd put it as last match?
No. Oh, no. Between those... maybe. You know how much...
Call.
Taker... if Taker said he wanted to go on last, what do you think Vince is going to do?
Vince is going to put Taker on last. I mean, if it's Taker versus Sting, it's a match that I think every wrestling fan wants to see. That match is...
yeah, about 10 years ago.
No, I think even now people want to see it. That's a marquee matchup. Regardless of what time period it happens, it's a marquee matchup. Just like Cena versus Taker is a marquee matchup.
Yeah, but it's going to be terrible.
But the thing is that all the marquee matchups that would have made this year's WrestleMania worth it, they already did it. Cena versus Roman's already been done. Brock versus Braun already been done.
Well, Kerry, I'm sorry, you're missing one, though. Braun versus Brock versus... Roman is a marquee matchup that would be a legit main event if they put Braun over. How is that not a marquee matchup that main events Mania that doesn't get everybody excited?
It could work.
That
would be amazing.
Versus Brock, exciting though. That's the only way.
Maybe that's the direction they're headed. But as of right now, really, guys, are we that excited about the potential WrestleMania card?
No,
I mean, there's too many questions.
A good one.
They haven't teased us with anything good yet. I mean, they've teased us with a few interesting tidbits, but nothing.
Yeah, they've taken us to Utica, but
yes, exactly. They've teased us a little bit, but nothing. You know, they bring us to Utica, but they're not bringing us to Syracuse.
They've not brought us upstairs yet, and
yes,
we've not had to get the car ready to drive
Correct.
To WrestleMania.
So we're fine. But once they start listing off in a couple of weeks, we're gonna start learning the WrestleMania card.
And you know, Shane's gonna have a match, so wouldn't Shane versus Daniel be the most?
I honestly thought that's what they're gonna do. I thought they're gonna do a tag team. Honestly, I thought it was gonna be like Shane and somebody versus Daniel and somebody. That way, they get Daniel. He's in the ring. He's wrestling. Everyone's happy. But he doesn't have to take the brunt of the hits and stuff.
Shane,
he could be the
somebody versus Daniel, KO, and Sammy works wonders if they want to go that route.
Except if they have
match.
The belt.
But would that be enough to satisfy Daniel Bryan? I mean, keep in mind, he wants to wrestle full time. He even said in an interview, what he's doing right now is the part of wrestling he hates.
Really? Because he's amazing at this.
Him. Nothing's
yeah.
going to satisfy. Like, his head is so far up his own asshole. And I say this with all due respect because I think he's a talented guy, but personally, I think he's a fucking idiot. He should be thankful he's able to walk and take care of his wife and his kid, and he's making money. Instead, he wants to go out and fucking be the goddamn wrestler from the movie The Fucking Wrestler. Kind of stupid. I don't have respect for that. I want WWE to keep him, because if he, really that's the best case scenario for his long-term health. Like, if he goes somewhere, he's been wanting this shit. He's either been wanting it or he's going to die in the ring. Like, you don't have that many problems without it coming back quickly. I mean, neck injuries, you know, we've seen time and time again what happens. If you think back of any wrestlers with neck injuries, can you think of anybody that's come back, like, long-term and just had a healthy career afterwards? I can't.
Shawn Michaels did for a while.
Wasn't neck, it was back.
Oh, his was back, that's right.
Neck injuries, you look at Austin, you look at
yep.
Edge. Sheamus is a big concern for us
yeah.
now.
Yeah. I mean, Kerry, do you think WWE is wrong for holding Daniel Bryan out?
No. You know, I would say before, yes, but now that I've watched Ring of Honor, I've watched New Japan, Daniel Bryan can't take those bumps anymore.
No, and that's what's...
No.
And WWE is smart. They're saying no, but they're giving him some... They see him as such. This is what I don't understand about Daniel Bryan. This is the thing that does tick me off about him. And you're right. I respect the hell out of him. I think he's great. He's a hell of a talent that we lost early. Hell of a talent we lost early. But also, WWE is like, hey, we love you. You're great. We don't want you to wrestle because we don't want you to die or hurt somebody or hurt yourself until you can never walk again. So we're trying to keep you out, but we're giving you a job on screen, which is basically he's great at. I mean, this is the part that the people love. Yes, we love to see him wrestle, and that's what he loves the most. But we also love seeing him. He's a great actor. So.
Yeah, I mean, his charisma is really good. And at some point, you guys sit there and think about... From a lot of things, it sounds like he has a very selfish attitude at times. Kind of it rubs me the wrong way. I wish he would... Think about Brie and Birdie, the greatest name ever for a child. you know, just fucking don't be an idiot, man. Like, I don't know how much money he's pulling in, but it's probably got to be substantial. Obviously. So, for his sake, I don't want him leaving WWE, because you're right. Those bumps are ridiculous. In Japan.
Yeah, he can't take those.
No.
There's no, without doing serious physical harm to him, himself, New Japan or Ring of Honor, those are not options for him.
But
at least based on what I've seen,
those guys shouldn't be taking those bumps, and they're healthy. Like,
yeah. So I don't think Kenny, like, I love Kenny Omega. I'd love to see him come over to WWE. He's not going to make it to WWE. I don't think he's going to. He's going to get injured, and he's done. I really like Kenny. So I'm hoping I'm wrong. I really am. I'm hoping someday he gets to WWE before he gets injured severely.
Aren't we just revisiting everything that happened like 15 years ago? Like, wrestling didn't learn its fucking lesson. We had the hardcore era where guys kept upping the level of matches to the point where, like, every week we were like, oh my god, they did that. And now we've seen all the suicides and the deaths. What did we learn? Nothing, because now we're back to strong style. And we're back to hitting each other as hard as we fucking can, taking as many fucking risks as possible without a care in the world for our bodies. So, in what, 5 years, 10 years, we're going to hear all the stories about the guys that are taking too many prescription pills and all. Like, this is bad for business. Strong style's bad for business. And that's not a shot at anybody. It's strong style in and of itself is bad for business because it's bad for longevity of wrestlers. Period. It just is. It's not healthy. And we're, seriously, 5-10 years, we're going to have another wave of deaths. For what? So we can be entertained because somebody hit somebody hard on the head? Whoop-de-fucking-do.
Yeah. Show me. Do it. Soft. Hit him softly in the head, but make me believe it's hard. That's more magic. But Kurt Angle is the one exception to the rule that kind of makes me think that Daniel Bryan will get a shot in WWE again. Because I remember, I was so mad at WWE back in the day. They were clearly right. Don't get me wrong. Now that I'm older, I'm like, no, Kurt Angle definitely should not be wrestling anymore. But he went to TNA, and he had a long career afterwards that WWE just refused to let him do.
Yeah, plus, what was it, 2 or 3 DUIs? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Definitely not. I'm not saying he's the poster child for non-drugs or anything like that, but
Kurt Angle gets away with a lot of shit that kind of got swept under the rug. Everybody's just like, no, it's okay. He's Kurt Angle. But,
yeah, it's Kurt Angle.
he did a lot of bad shit in TNA. A lot of bad shit. Do we have anything else on the sketch, on the thing, or are we moving on to?
I think we're there.
Unless you guys want to touch on the U.S. title
it
tournament.
Happened, it was bad. Did that sum up everybody's thoughts?
I didn't think it was bad.
And Bobby Roode's going to win.
I still think Bobby Roode's winning.
Is there a chance that they're putting on Jinder, or is it definitely Bobby?
If they're smart, they'll put it on Bobby, which means it's going on Jinder.
That's my fear. Like, that's exactly my logic. Is I'm like, if they're smart, yes, Bobby. But then I'm like, well, they did put the world belt on Jinder, and they don't want to immediately, like, have him crater, so they may put the U.S. title to keep him strong and relevant.
Keep him from not falling down to the bottom of the barrel. That's my fear on this, too. The better story is definitely Bobby, though. 100%.
Bobby's in the Braun situation, right? Where if they don't put something on him soon, we're going to lose faith in the fact that he's ever going to get over that proverbial hump. So it really needs to be Bobby.
All right. So, listeners, there you have it. There's our recap for the week. Let's move on to what we're looking forward to next week in our segment, I'm Not Finished With You Yet. Well, guys, I am looking forward to how Jason Jordan's going to piss off Seth and Roman next week. How about you, Russ?
I love the mute button. It's so fun to use.
Wow, that's embarrassing. As I was saying, I'd like to say something on SmackDown, but SmackDown's been spinning its wheels for the last 2 weeks, and it's been, frankly, I don't think anything's going to happen. But what I am looking forward to is seeing what Braun does next week, baby, because he's back!
I am looking forward to any subtle hint, because this is my bold prediction for 2 weeks from now, of the Revival being the ones to protect Brock Lesnar from losing his belt at the Royal Rumble. because the Revival had been kind of hidden away, tucked away, even though they're healthy. My hope, my big hope, since Sammy's not in the Rumble, this is my new big hope, is that the Revival are the next Paul Heyman guys and are going to protect Brock in that match. Because they can interfere, there's no DQ. And the Revival could use a mouthpiece. That's what I'm looking forward to. Going hard.
Alright, so there you have it. Alright guys, it's time to play Guess the Wrestler. So for our listeners, the rules of Guess the Wrestler are pretty simple. Each week one of us picks a wrestler and it's up to the other two to guess who that wrestler is using 9 questions and 2 guesses. This week it's Russ's pick, and he will give us the answer to 2 kind of give me or free questions, which are if it's a current or former wrestler and if it's male or female.
All right. So this week, I'm going to give you a couple of hints, big ones, because, well, I'm going to tell you that it's 2 people. They were a tag team. Former males. Just because.
So are they currently females?
No. Former wrestlers.
Okay, so it's not Billy and Chuck.
Yeah, no, it's not Billy and Chuck. No. It is a wrestling team because you know them, you might not know their individual names. So I'll go with a tag team.
So we may not know their individual names.
Okay, you might, but I don't think Carrie would. Oh, so I'll take it. I'll accept if you... What?
That's mean. Carrie knows. I face Carrie.
We'll see. Maybe we should let Carrie guess first.
Well, of course Carrie guesses first.
That's true. She always does. All right, Carrie.
All right, first question is, what era?
Era, good question. I would say the majority of their work was pre-Attitude Era.
Can you specify if it's after the Rock and Roll Era? Like, is it?
I would say it's during the Rock and Roll Era.
All right, so we're talking 80s, possibly early 90s, is that?
Yep.
Okay. What was their predominant company they worked for?
I want to say mostly we're going to know him from WWE / F, obviously.
Get the F out.
But they did do make some appearances other places, but we know him from WWF. Okay,
so many places at once is great. By the way, how great is it to watch WWF commercials during WWE programming? Bravo to that.
I still want them to put the panda with a dang steel chair in their logo.
One day.
All right. My next question is, did they ever hold a title?
Good question. A major one? No.
Like, oh, okay.
Okay.
I'm looking. Oh, I'm sorry. They did hold the WWC World Tag Team Champions 2 times. I'm sorry. I did not see that.
So they held WCW twice, but they were predominantly in WWF.
Yep.
This isn't scary at all.
I'm very scared right now.
God, I'm really taking a shot in the dark here on this question with a hunch. Russ, who's named their manager?
I don't know if they had a manager. I have to go look.
Well, that'll tell me if they were face or heel and give me the name of the manager if they had it. See, Carrie, I'm killing 2 birds, 1 stone with this question.
I like this.
Yeah.
I don't think they had a manager. I'm looking, continue to look while you think about it, but I'm going to say right now don't think they have a manager that we would, like, you would normally connect to them.
Okay.
Any catchphrases that we would know?
Yeah.
I need to ask you this question, but it can't count as my question.
Okay.
All right. Well, I want to ask you what colors they wore, but first I need to know, were they a team that consistently wore the same outfits?
Yes.
Okay, so what were their predominant attire? Color.
Let me look. Because I
that might help narrow it down. I don't know at this point.
Let me get an image up of...
Up of who?
Camo. Does that help?
It may. We got three questions, Carrie.
Did one of the members of this tag team have an insanely short time in the Royal Rumble?
What do you mean by insanely short? Like a record insanely short?
It was a record at the time. Like in 91 or 92. Because I'm looking at the team that Carrie's talking about because I have their figurines on my shelf.
And what year was it?
It was in 90, 91, 92, someplace around there. What she's referring
to. The answer to your question is yes.
Russ, do I have the figurines next to me on my...
Yes, you do. When he said that, I knew you knew who it was. So, yes, yes, you do. Am I right?
Do we want to finish out the questions, though?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because we always do the questions. Come on. We always did it to you when we knew who it was.
My other question would be, did either of them like to lick the other one?
Yes. Yes, they certainly did like to lick the other one.
Are there any questions left? Because I really just want to say, did they watch the ring like this?
Yes. Well, when you said they have a catchphrase, I kind of went, that is their catchphrase. When they walk like this, they that's their catchphrase.
Whoa.
Yeah. Okay. Whoa. Yeah.
So.
I told you it was easy. I didn't say this was that hard.
The camouflage is what helped, I think.
Yes, I figured
that's
it would
the one
be.
That's the one that got... I was just like, wait a minute. I know.
I was trying to figure out how to answer the question. I was really hoping they, at some point, were wearing just blue jeans so I could say blue. But I looked at everything. I was like, damn, everything's camo. I have to say camo.
They did also have a manager named Jameson for a very short-lived feud against the Beverly Brothers.
Okay, so I would...
I'm just saying that's something that only Steve would have really been like, yeah, Russ, come on.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So just for our listeners, since we already know who we're talking about, we should probably say our guests so our listeners know who we're talking about.
Probably.
All right, so I'll go ahead and say it. Listeners, we're talking about the Bushwhackers.
Yes. Yes. See, I wasn't sure if, like, I knew you would know the names, but I wasn't sure if Carrie would know the names, so I would accept Bushwhackers as the answer. Either one, so.
Yeah, for me, that was the easiest approach.
Yeah.
They were also the Sheep Herders, and...
Yes.
Did either of you watch their Hall of Fame induction? Because they were funny as hell.
Yeah, they were.
They were really funny.
Oh, yep. They were hilarious.
It's actually what made me think about it, because I was thinking about Hall of Fame earlier. I was like, who's going to be in the Hall of Fame this year? I was like, oh, Bushwhackers, that's a good answer. And they're easy. I thought they'd be easy. I thought...
I really, once Camo came up, I'm like, well, it's not Sergeant Slaughter. At first, I was thinking you were going with Killer Bees. Like, and I was like, he's not wearing a Killer Steve shirt, so he's not that bright.
Nope. So, all right.
All right, there you have it, listeners. Another week has come to a close. Kent, any announcements?
I am lazy as fuck. No. Like,
that's not it.
I prodded my horror group. I'm like, anybody want to do anything? I got, like, one suggestion. I'm like, I think this place is dead. So, that's good. But, actually, wait, I do have an announcement. I think in the very near future, we're going to have a new addition to the Nindeuce website. It's going to be a book review blog run by a friend I think all of us know, Chris Theophilus. So I'm looking forward to that because, once again, I just have to copy and paste and post and not do any work. I like that.
It seems like this has become a wrestling with other things kind of attached to it type thing.
That's okay. That's what Nindeuce is all about, man.
That's true. It is.
Me not doing a goddamn thing.
All right,
listeners, so go ahead, check everything out at 9deuce.com. And with that, for Russ, Kent, and myself, we wish you all a good night, and we will talk to you all next week.
See everyone later.
That's very effervescent.
I haven't said that word in forever.
Yeah, shame on you.
I know, I really should bring it back.
Bring an effervescent back.